Since Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, people have been gathering on the steps of the Supreme Court. Congressional reporter Siobhan Hughes went to see it.
The Supreme Court is located right across the street from the Capitol building, and it's been a pretty empty area lately because of the pandemic. But when I went to the Supreme Court yesterday, it was packed with people paying their respects to Ruth Bader Ginsburg. There were flowers strewn in front of the entrance to the Supreme Court, all along the edging. There were handmade placards. People wanted to be there for this moment of remembrance.
There were signs celebrating Ginsburg's legacy and also echoing her parting wish.
One of the last things Ruth Bader Ginsburg said, and this is a comment that's reflected in placards lining the Supreme Court, is, "It is my most fervent wish that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed." And so that statement, her wish not to be replaced until a new president is installed, functions as a rallying cry for Democrats.
Honor her wish!
This comment from Ginsburg points to a fight that played out 4 years ago over who has the right to name a Supreme Court nominee in a presidential election year, the sitting president or whoever wins. In 2016, the result of that battle left deep political wounds.
What I'm reminded of is how much the past flows into the present when you're talking about the Senate's politics of confirming Supreme Court justices. What happened in 2016 is important because that is this scar on the psyche of Democrats. It's a scar that actually is more like a scab, and it's very, very easy to pick that off and have the wound feel fresh and new to this day.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Monday, September 21st. Coming up on the show, the battle over who gets to decide the next Supreme Court justice and how a nomination fight in 2016 will shape the one in 2020.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems. But buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
The fight that's casting a shadow over Justice Ginsburg's replacement happened after the death of Justice Antonin Scalia in February of 2016.
When Justice Scalia passed away, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was on vacation in the Caribbean. And without consulting with his caucus at all, he issued a press statement saying, "The voice of the American people needs to be heard, and therefore we will not fill this vacancy until after the elections."
At that point, only two states had voted in the presidential primary. The general election was months away. What was the reaction on the Hill to his statement, especially from Democratic senators?
Democrats were both shocked and appalled. What they said was, nowhere in the Constitution does it say a president cannot pick his nominee in an election year. That's simply unconstitutional.
What we're seeing here, and I hope this is temporary, is a disrespect for the Constitution by the Senate Republicans. The Senate should do their job.
As this process moves forward, Senator McConnell is going to find himself increasingly isolated in his obstruction.
Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution says that the President of the United States shall nominate judges, executive officials, and justices to the Supreme Court with the advice and consent of the Senate. There is no secret clause that says, except when that president is a Democrat.
Democratic senators were very, very hopeful that they could appeal to moderate Republicans, but the conservative base came out in absolute force. And the conservative base said that Republicans shouldn't even so much as hold hearings.
What was the reasoning that Republican senators gave to withhold a confirmation of an Obama nominee?
Well, Republican senators, they go back to 1992 when Joe Biden, who was then the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said that it would be wrong to confirm a Supreme Court justice nominee right before an election. And that argument is that not since 1888 in a presidential election year has a Senate controlled by one party confirmed a justice nominated by a president from the opposing party.
Let me remind colleagues of what Vice President Biden said when he was chairman of the Judiciary Committee here in the Senate. Here's what he said. It would be our pragmatic conclusion that once the political season is underway, and it is, action on a Supreme Court nomination must be put off until after the election campaign is over.
But despite McConnell's argument that it was too late for President Obama to make a nomination,
today I am nominating Chief Judge Merrick Brian Garland to join the Supreme Court.
Obama called on the Senate to give Garland a fair hearing.
If you don't, then it will not only be an abdication of the Senate's constitutional duty, it will indicate a process for nominating and confirming judges that is beyond repair.
But the Senate didn't do what Obama wanted. Merrick Garland's nomination didn't move forward, and the seat on the court stayed empty.
There was not a vote. There were not hearings. Some individual Republican senators did not meet with Merrick Garland. Nothing happened, and the Democrats were powerless to stop it.
And what did that vacancy mean for the court?
Number one, the court accepted a lot fewer new cases. And number two, the decisions that the court did make, they tended to decide on very narrow grounds. And so while individual cases got resolved, big new precedent wasn't set. And the court was rendered, in some sense, a lot less powerful than it can be.
And then once President Trump was elected and took office, he made a nomination to fill Scalia's seat. Who did he nominate and how did that process play out?
President Trump nominated Neil Gorsuch.
Today, I am keeping another promise to the American people by nominating Judge Neil Gorsuch.
But the roadblocks weren't over for Republicans. To be confirmed, Gorsuch would need 60 votes. And to hit that number, Republicans would need Democrats to get on board. But instead of courting votes from Democrats, Mitch McConnell decided to do something radical.
Senate Republicans drove through a rules change that said, now the Senate will confirm Supreme Court justices with only a simple majority. This is called the nuclear option. And it gets its name from the fact that turning the Senate into a majoritarian body, which is not its nature, is so explosive that it can only be likened to setting off a nuclear bomb.
It was a bomb that had been set off before. Just 4 years before the fight over Neil Gorsuch, Democrats had used the nuclear option on other judicial appointments for federal judges. Now, a simple majority could confirm any judge up and down the line. Judicial appointments are a key issue for McConnell, right?
Judicial appointments are McConnell's legacy. McConnell has been busily at work remaking the federal courts for a generation. It's to the degree that this is his primary agenda item. Plenty of legislation does not happen because of his desire to appoint conservative-leaning, and I will say young conservative-leaning justices to the courts. And the crown jewel in that plan is the Supreme Court.
So this rule change has let McConnell change the judiciary. Has it also changed the Senate?
It has contributed to a change in the Senate. The Senate has become an increasingly partisan, getting away from what we think of as its nature, which is to function as a cooling saucer.
Nothing has cooled since 2016. If anything, tensions have been heating up. Which is why when Siobhan heard the news of Ginsburg's death, she knew it would be a big deal.
I had two thoughts that occurred nearly simultaneously. One was, I thought this was going to happen. And the reason I thought this was going to happen was back in March when I was reporting on the pandemic, I went over to the attending physician's office. And when I got there, I ended up seeing a wheelchair coming around the bend with a woman in glasses with a kerchief around her head. And I realized it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I had seen her go to the attending physician's office before because it's available to Supreme Court justices, officials, but I'd never seen her in such bad shape. And at that moment, my heart sunk because I thought, oh my goodness, there could be a Supreme Court vacancy. She does not look well. There could be it in the middle of a pandemic. And that's exactly what happened.
Siobhan's second thought?
Oh, no. The elections are already so tense. They are about to get tenser.
We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
Today, Trump said that he would nominate someone for the Supreme Court by the end of the week. If confirmed, that nominee could change the makeup of the court for decades to come.
So the person who fills this seat, this vacant seat on the Supreme Court, if President Trump is successful, would be the sixth conservative.
Vivica Novak is our court's editor.
So you'd have a 6-3 balance, which we haven't had in quite a while. It has been a much more balanced court in recent years. So if it's 6-3, what you're going to have is liberals in the minority probably for a very long time because President Trump has tended to name much younger people to the court than other presidents have. If the decisions come out, you know, with a more conservative bent over the next few years, what we could see is a Supreme Court that's out of step with the American public. The American public, for instance, favors abortion rights without very many restrictions, according to Wall Street Journal polling. But a Supreme Court that is 6-3 conservative and includes perhaps a justice like maybe Amy Coney Barrett, who's the name you hear most often coming out of the White House these days, that doesn't portend well for abortion rights. You could see, you know, something similar on affirmative action or the death penalty or, you know, certainly health care.
But the Supreme Court could make a ruling on health care this term, even without a new justice. One of the cases the court plans to hear this fall has to do with the Affordable Care Act. In 2017, Congress got rid of a tax penalty for individuals who don't purchase health insurance. And this case is about whether losing that penalty makes the law unconstitutional.
So there are a group of Republican attorneys general in the states that asked the entire law to be struck down as a result of that tax penalty no longer being in effect, and therefore they say the individual mandate can't be in effect, and thus the whole law should fall.
That's big.
It's enormous. And if that ninth seat on the court is not filled by that time, that does present a very tricky situation for the justices, in part because the lower court ruling that would stand if they deadlocked is one that would strike down the Affordable Care Act. And it's possible the justices will split 4-4 on that, because Justice Roberts has in the past sided with the liberal wing of the court in upholding the act. So we can't say for sure. And you can imagine that having the Affordable Care Act be threatened this way in the middle of a pandemic just adds an extra layer of kind of crisis about the whole thing.
What could an 8-person court mean for a potentially contested election?
That's a really, really good question. If there's an 8-person court and you wind up with a situation like you did in 2000, where the Supreme Court did make the final call on the election, you would have, again, a possibly 4-4 split, and it would then, again, revert to whatever the lower court had decided. So that's going to be a minefield.
Whether it's 4-4 at the time of the election will depend on how quickly the nomination process goes.
The median number of days that it takes to confirm a nominee is somewhere on the order of 70 days. And obviously, there are only about 6 weeks until the election, or 42 days. But nominees have been confirmed in less time. And for example, Ruth Bader Ginsburg took 42 days from the time she was nominated to the time she was confirmed. And so that's about in the ballpark of what we're in right now.
And if the confirmation hearing doesn't happen before the election, and the seat remains vacant on election day, what would that mean for the process?
If the seat remains open before election day, that will be very, very motivating for conservatives. There will be conservatives who turn out at the polls solely on the issue of the Supreme Court fight.
Would McConnell try to push something through during a lame duck session if Biden were to win?
Yes, he was very, very clear about that in the statement that he issued.
And if Joe Biden were to win the election, or if Democrats gain a majority in the Senate, how would that change any of this?
That could change this, theoretically, by a lot. There is an idea out there among progressives that the appropriate response to McConnell's successes in remaking the court is to pack the court, to simply add more seats to the Supreme Court so you water down the power of the now conservative-leaning court. And while that would be a hard goal to achieve, it shows we are not in a moment of political moderation, and Democrats could be in a position of trying to push their own extremes next year.
Republicans are still waiting to see whether they have the votes to confirm a nominee. Two Republican senators have indicated that they support waiting until after the election to vote. If four Republican senators defect, McConnell won't have the simple majority he needs for a confirmation. That's all for today, Monday, September 21st. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.